A very special two-parter.
This is the episode where Kurt goes down to the bike shop and gets touched.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. We've got all sorts of great nerdy things to talk about. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with...
Tim Coker.
Tim Mattson.
Isaac Wilson.
And Kirk Gilman.
What? Kirk Sorry Gilman. There's a new voice there.
Who's that guy?
Yes, yet another buddy of the podcast. You know what, Tim? I'm going to let you tell the people why we brought it, or Tim Coker, because you're the one that brought him into this mess. I'll let you tell the people why.
Well, it's because... You know, I have some photographs of Kirk, and I just like to make him do things, you know, because he knows I have them.
And, dance, monkey.
Yeah, no, we've been talking about doing this for a while, because Kirk and I are have been hanging out a lot lately. Well, not enough, probably, but...
Enough to take several photos.
Exactly. And, Kirk and I get together and watch the movies and stuff that we talk about on this podcast anyway. So, and plus he's part of the same scene that we all were in college. So
yep.
Makes sense for us all to meet up again.
Yeah, we all hung around the green room there at SIU theater department. So, Kirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad to talk to you. It's been way too long. And good to meet Isaac, too, even though he doesn't want to be here.
It's really not good to meet me.
Yeah, and plus, we'll see how you feel at the end of the podcast. So,
just ask the person who's been living with me for the past 15 years.
Yeah, you haven't paid rent yet. I'm upset. So, all right, guys. So we're going to do first of all, we're going to get into some real good nerdy stuff. But before we do that, I got to put the word out. I've got some stuff going on the website. First of all, you can listen to any podcast on the website itself, nerduppodcast.com. Also, don't forget, buy our T-shirts. Walk around looking good with a picture of the Nerd Up Podcast crew, all designed by our very own Tim Coker. Beautiful shirts. Make you look cool. Also, you probably heard of Loot Crate, and it's a nerdy monthly subscription box where you get all sorts of nerdy things. Well, maybe you've never heard of Geek Fuel. Well, Geek Fuel is the same thing as Loot Crate, but different items. Isaac and I both subscribe to those, and we get them every single month. We get to compare items or swap items, whatever it is, and each month there's something different. And if you want to subscribe, trust me, these are fun. Go to our website, nerduppodcast.com. Just click on the banners, and we'll get credit for it and maybe even help, you know, support the podcast a little more. So there's another way you can help us out on the podcast. All right, so now let's talk about Indie PopCon. All right, Kirk, you're going to – have you heard of Indie PopCon yet?
I have.
Okay. All right, good, because this was fun this year. Now, the first year of Indie PopCon
– was the best.
The first year? Yeah, it was the best. Tim –
that was pretty fun.
Tim Mattson flew out from North Carolina. Eric Billingsley drove up from Southern Illinois. In fact, we met about halfway, and we finished driving to Indianapolis there. And we had a blast the first year. Second year – was kind of weird because all of a sudden they introduced all these YouTubers. And all these YouTubers, we thought, oh, gosh, what are they doing? Well, we go there and all of a sudden we realize, holy cow, everybody and their mother loves these YouTubers because they sold out the event. So, and this year, more YouTubers, but also they added on a lot more voice actors from animations. And these guys were fun. It was a huge event this year. This was the biggest crowd I had ever seen at Indie PopCon. We got to meet some fun people. I got to meet Michael Hogan. You may know him as Colonel Ty from Battlestar Galactica, or Otto Gerhardt from Fargo, and got to meet with him. And okay, we're all theater guys here, and I think that's safe to say. And one of the things I asked Michael Hogan when I went up to him, first of all, I said, hey, love Jim Battlestar Galactica, but, dude, you blew me away. And, I said dude to Michael Hogan, so big deal. But anyway, I said, dude, you blew me away as Otto Gerhardt in Fargo, because through that whole movie he had suffered a stroke and his action was all very little facial movements, and the way he carried, you know, the emotions and stuff in that series. Hold on, before I go any further, did any of you see that second series of Fargo?
No, I started the first episode.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, then I might have given away a spoiler there. But he played Otto Gerhardt, the leader of this kind of a Norwegian mafia. So he's, like, paralyzed through the movie, or through the series. And I told him, I said, man, it just blew me away that portrayed with very little action and very little facial movement. And I said, what was your process? So I asked him, I said, you know, what was on in your mind to make that come out as the audience? You know what he told me, guys? This is the dumbest thing in the world. He said, I'm not telling you. That's flat out what he said. He goes, it's like a magician with his magic. He doesn't give away tricks. But then he started talking about black box theater and how he was talking about how they did black box theater in which, you know, the scenery. We all know what black box theater is here among the podcast. It's where the scenery is all these black boxes, and it's in a black box. And, you know, he said he did the theater, and he would have the kids or people draw what they thought the set looked like. And all they used was black cubes. And the set drawn from the imagination of these people that watched the play was way more elaborate than what they actually used. And he goes, that's what I want to keep to you as a fan. He goes, I want you to keep your imagination. I don't want you to think of what I thought. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, at first I was kind of mad that you weren't going to tell me, but I think that's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
I thought, after he explained it, then I'm like, oh, yeah. And so, well, as a matter of fact, Kirk, you were in a play I directed in the Black Box Theater.
That's correct.
That's right. We did Chalky White Substance.
Right. Nothing to do with cocaine.
Well, at least not during the performances.
We were professionals.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, it was, like, really interesting answer from him. So, but anyway, yeah, the 80s were and 90s were a weird time. He was a really friendly guy. Came out, in fact, you know, I paid for the autograph, and you know, which is what you do at cons. When I went to go get the selfie taken, I was going to have Isaac take the picture. And once again, he was one of those actors that said, no, get your son in here, too. We'll all get in this. And, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And so Isaac says, good, I don't have to take a picture of my dad, right?
I don't know. I didn't know the actor, so it was a lose-lose for me.
Gil?
I know, right?
Gil, your imitation of Isaac was solid, but it had too much feeling. There was too much inflection. You got to be more deadpan.
Oh, yeah.
He's right.
I don't have to take a picture of my dad.
There you go.
Okay.
Wait, Isaac, was that you?
No, there's not. It's not a deep enough voice.
Oh. Ouch.
There wasn't enough moody angst.
We'll work on that. We'll work on that. But anyway, so he was a cool celeb to meet, and he actually spent the time. Then I'm going to go over first of all here with the people that we sought autographs of. Then we'll walk into some of the indie PopCon stuff itself that was really cool. But then we went over to meet Nolan North. He's the voice of Nathan Drake on the Uncharted series and Deadpool, and he's also in Assassin's Creed, and I can't even remember all the video games this guy does. But
pretty much, if it's a video game, his voice is in it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's like the Frank Welker of video games, yeah. Right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. If you ask me, he could be a regular actor. He didn't have to be a voice actor. Some voice actors, they're like, yeah, I see why you're just a voice actor. But this guy, he's got the whole good-looking, square-jawed superhero look going. This guy's a good-looking man.
That's why I said before the Deadpool movie, like, officially was released, I said they should have Nolan North play him. Because I looked at his IMDb page, and I was like, yeah, he could pull it off.
Yeah. And hey, like, when we went up to get his autograph, I was like, I wouldn't mind kissing him, so, but... But then the, you know, security guy kind of, you know... But anyway, but this guy, he's got that... He could be the leading man very easily. But anyway, so we got in line for this because we were walking through and we were finishing our rounds. You know, we make our rounds to see what's up first and kind of scout out where we want to go. And then as we're finishing up making our rounds, if you will, of the vendor of the floor, we get to see his line is just humongous. So, and everybody there had a copy of some sort of Uncharted, it seemed like. So we got in line. And we waited, I'd say about maybe an hour, was it? Maybe an hour?
Probably.
Yeah, so we waited about an hour. And so I missed a bunch of the panels that I really wanted to go to. But about 10 people behind us, they cut the line because he had to go to a panel. And I'm like, well, why couldn't they hold the line for me? I got to go to a panel too, but I guess he was hosting it. So they cut the line, 10 people behind us, and we're like, okay, cool. And then when we get to our turn, I got to tell you, this guy took the time with the fans. Every single person, it was like a personal conversation. He took the time, shook hands, took pictures, blah, blah, did everything. he was very fan friendly, and I guess and it was like really nice to see that. And that's why when we got up there, they were kind of rushing the line, because when they cut him off, they said, "Oh yeah, you got about an hour till your panel, so that should be fine." Well, he was taking so much time that hour went by fast. So anyway, we got up there. Isaac was like, "Yeah, they're just rushing through. Let's just get the autograph and go." And I said, "No, I want to ask him a question." And so I asked him, "What's your favorite voice?" And this right here, I kind of wondered about this as soon as he said, "Well, actually, I can't have a favorite because they're all very different." And what he did, he started going through his repertoire of every single voice he's done in video games. And Deadpool alone has had three. And so he was going through these, and all this time they're saying, "Come on, he's got to go to the thing. Come on. And he's like, "No, I'm going to tell these people." And he started talking to, and he went through and told us every voice. If I had had a recorder running at that moment, I'd have had a blast, because he did the Joker. I mean, not the Joker, the Penguin from the whatever that game was that he did the Penguin for. I think it was Arkham Asylum.
I think so too.
And then he did Deadpool, and then he did Nathan Drake, and he did all these. And he goes, "As you see, they're all so different, but they're all very fun to do." And I was like, "Well, that's kind of cool." And I'm like being rushed away, and I'm like, "I want to talk to you more." So what I should have done was gone to his panel, but I didn't. Yeah,
Seems like a really interesting dude.
He very much so is. He definitely has the talent. That's one thing. Especially, like you said, if there's a video game, he's probably in it. But yeah, that was our main one. Oh, and then Isaac, you had one more that you had to get.
Which one? I think I had a few that I had to get, didn't I?
Kyle Hebert was the final one we ended up with.
Yeah, he. I just brought all my crap to sign, and I expected to pay like $40 for all of it. So I didn't spend anything else or money on anything else up until then, but it turns out he was offering like all his headshots and stuff, and he would sign everything that you wanted and get a selfie all for $10.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, right.
I just imagine someone rolling up there with like a wagon full of stuff.
I was wondering. Isaac had like two posters, plus he got the 8x10. And then he, you know, got the selfie, and Isaac's ready to pay more money out. He's got it all whipped, and he goes, "No, $10, it covers it all." And I was like, "Wow!" And this is the guy that does voices for Dragon Ball Z. What other?
He was in a web series called Tome. He's Ryu in Street Fighter. He is, oh crap, who else was it?
He's a bit like Nolan North. He's in a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like he's
a bear. He's a very prolific voice actor.
Yeah, very. And the thing is, $10, everything. I mean, that's totally unlike any other celebrity of any type. Even the YouTubers were charging $30. It's like, okay, that's cool. He was very fan friendly too. He took the time. He, like I said, he first of all gave everything away, so you know.
Oh right. Tim Mattson, you said you watched Gurren Lagann, right? Like up until time.
Oh yeah,
he was the voice of Kamina in the English version.
Oh cool, yeah.
So
yeah, I lose track of it. It seems like every time I watch an anime or something, his name's in the credits somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah, yep. And so it was, you know, he's one of those. And so that was our round of people that we had to meet, other than Karen Gillan. So you think, yeah, we're giving you all these nice people, nice prices, and all this good stuff. Comes time to meet Karen Gillan. Actually, started out. Isaac and his friend, they wanted to go to the Q&A panel she was supposed to be hosting. Keywords there, supposed to be, because she didn't show up.
Yeah, apparently there was like a, maybe there was already like a previous change in time, but it was the panel that was supposed to be after that, I think, that was showing there.
And, well, she wasn't there on the floor that day at all.
What? Oh, okay.
Karen Gill, yeah, she was gone that day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, come on. That was a big one. So, but, hey. We had other things to do anyway. But, there's all sorts of fun. Now, let me tell you, here's one thing I got to do, and I had to leave Isaac with a babysitter for an hour, or at least let him walk the con floor by himself. But Kyle Hebert, David Eddings, and John Bailey. John Bailey, what's the name of the YouTube series?
Oh, Honest Video Game Trailers and Honest Trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's the guy with that. Or those three, David Eddings is another voice actor.
He was Claptrap.
Claptrap, yeah, David Eddings is Claptrap. And so, yeah, so they hosted a panel. The panel, though, was not like any other panel in the world. Have you guys heard of the game Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And have you played it?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Nope.
Okay, the first rule, whenever you read the rules of how to play Cards Against Humanity, it says, rules on how to play, it says, don't. It's a very wrong game, but fun as hell. It is so politically incorrect, it's pitiful. But the panel was those three voice actors playing Cards Against Humanity. And what they would do is they'd play the cards, and the audience got to choose which one was the winner. And one of the guy with, what's the trailers again?
Honest Trailers.
Yeah, Honest Trailers. He was a great impressionist. This guy could do, he started out, the first voice he did was Christopher Walken. And reading them in different voices added a whole new level to that game. And so we sat there for an hour listening to these guys play Cards Against Humanity, and boy, they got the good cards, too. It was
awesome.
It was a blast. I don't think I'd laugh so hard. I mean, it was just hilarious. First of all, like I said, the game is wrong, but fun. And these guys, with Christopher Walken, Ronald Reagan, Deadpool, let's see, I'm trying to think, well, I guess Ryan Reynolds, actually. There are a few other, I mean, just so many different voices they could pull from. And what it was, they'd rate it in the voice of what it would, what sounded the best for that, whatever the category was. And oh my gosh, it was a blast. An hour-long panel, and I continue with more Indie PopCon. Before we talk about the movie premiere we saw, anything you wanted to add to the PopCon extravaganza?
Not really. I spent a lot of money, and that's it.
You guys brought up Honest Trailers?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Honest Trailer for Deadpool?
Nope.
No.
Deadpool. I know Deadpool actually, like, it does the narration.
You showed me.
Okay, yeah. It's got Ryan Reynolds is on it. Like, Deadpool crashes and
Honest
on his own Honest Trailer.
Nice.
Pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to check that one out. I know that it was Lloyd Kaufman. He was on one of the Honest Trailers, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think he was. I think they did an Honest Trailer, and he showed up, kind of, not crashing it, but anyway, Lloyd Kaufman was at the Indie PopCon this time, too. So.
I remember he was on Angry Video Game Nerd.
That's what it was.
Okay.
He even talked about it at the Kevin Smith, after, or show or whatever.
Yeah.
Because somebody asked about it.
So, well, actually, that's a good segue here. We then closed our night. We ditched the two people that gave us a ride up there and said, hey, you guys wait in the hallway because we got tickets to see this. But we saw the world premiere, red carpet premiere, of Kevin Smith's new movie, Yoga Hosers. And
it was the worst thing.
I'm not sure whether to congratulate you or not.
It was the worst thing Dad has ever made me do. I don't think you should congratulate him at all.
Wow.
I think you should call Child Protective Services.
Well, okay, here we go.
That's a ringing endorsement right there. They should put that on the poster.
I think so.
Yoga Hosers is the worst thing my dad ever made me do.
Quote, you should call Child Protective Services.
Well, see, okay, so they had the premiere, and I had to get tickets. I'm a Kevin Smith fan. And now, lately, Kevin Smith's movies are just what he wants to do. He doesn't give a damn about the world. When it comes to making movies, it's just things he wants to do. I mean, after all,
maybe he might want to change that attitude a bit. Maybe.
Yeah, it seems to keep him rolling. So you know, just keep enough to buy his weed for the month, I guess. But
right.
But he this one, he's doing a little trilogy. He's calling it his Canadian trilogy. The first one was Tusk, in which Michael Parks turns Justin Long into a walrus. Now, I haven't seen this one yet, but I want to. But in that film, there are two clerks that work at a fast food store, or a convenience store, I'm sorry, which sounds oddly familiar. And so they are two daughters, famous daughters, daughter of Johnny Depp, Lily Rose, and then there's Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn.
That's them in the movie?
Yep. And they're in Tusk, and now what they did is they took those two characters, they're called the Colleens, they're both named Colleen, and this movie is centered around them. Now, this movie, he says it's kind of like one of those cheesy 80s horror movies that, as a teenager he loved to go see.
He said it was Clerks meets the Gremlins, and then he said, no, wait, Gremlins was actually a good movie. Or like Clerks meets the Goonies.
Which I thought was Goonies was a good movie, but I guess never mind.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
That's some fighting words right there.
And so they take those two clerks, And I'll tell you what, the best part about it was I actually had fun because I laughed out loud a lot. Now, it's funny, but it's extremely stupid funny. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the stupid jokes that you have to laugh at. You know, it's like that, you know, and that's all it is. It's just a bunch of stupid stuff.
It gave me a chuckle, but I was really reluctant to chuckle.
It was a reluckle.
Hey, we just may have coined a word.
That belongs on the movie poster right there.
It gave me a reluckle. but they've got the opening scene. The girls have a band. They close down the convenience store so they can go practice with the band in the back room. Again, sounds very familiar, like a first movie by Kevin Smith or something, you know. But anyway, the first song they're doing is I'm the Man by Anthrax. And I'm like, oh, this is great, you know, because I always love that song anyway. So they're doing that song. And then as the show goes on, he even throws in a line where they're fighting off these Bratzies, which are Nazi bratwurst.
From the ground.
Life, from the ground that come to life. So
all they say is Guten Tag.
What?
Yeah.
That was my exact reaction when he said that, too. Just, what?
All right.
And so, like I said, it's stupid, but funny. So anyway, there's the one, like, they're fighting them off with hockey sticks. It's Canada, you know. And then, or I should say, it's Canada, eh? But anyway, so there's one point where she slaps this Bratzy. And she says, I'm not even supposed to be here today. And I'm like, ah, there we go. But the movie, yeah.
But and Isaac said, neither was I.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
But then, I mean, he's got all the drops from every different thing that, I mean, it's a typical Kevin Smith movie that always refers to another movie somewhere, somehow. And also...
I'm starting to consider whether I should drive to Illinois and pick Isaac up for his own good.
And then...
Oh, there's more now.
The cameos. The cameos in this film are just awesome. First of all, you got Johnny Depp in this thing playing the detective trying to discover who's killing all these people.
Let me guess. It's a really quirky performance buried under a ton of weird makeup.
Yeah.
How did I know?
He's Guy Lapointe, the French detective. It reminds me a lot like Pink Panther, the way he's approaching it. So, but anyway, and then you've got all these cameos. You got Stan Lee. You've got the Harley from the Epic Mealtime series. Gosh, who all was in this?
Ralph Garman.
Well, he was like a main part in the
villain.
Third act. Yeah, he's the villain in the third act. Basically,
Kevin Smith's dog.
Yeah, Kevin Smith's dog. That's right. That brings to another funny part. The villain at the very end, as he's describing his evil plan to take over the world with animated Bratzies, he goes, well, I'm German, so I don't want to sound creepy. And so I can't do a German accent very well. He goes, so instead I will do it in your beloved actor Al Pacino. So then he goes into an Al Pacino rant, and he's doing the thing, you know, throwing in a bunch of hoo-ahs. You know, Ralph Garman, by the way, is a really nice impressionist. The guy's got... So Al Pacino's one of his best. So he delivers it in Al Pacino, and he goes, oh, still too creepy. All right, how about... And then he goes into Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then he goes into Ed Wynn. And the funny part is, I'm laughing at the Ed Wynn impersonation. And then the two Colleens that are being held captive, they go with Johnny Depp, with Guy Lapointe, they say, we don't even know who that is. So then he goes, okay, I will do it in your beloved Batman. So he goes his Adam West imitation. And they're doing this. I love this part because it's a really it talks really about the different.
It's a really deep message about our generational gap.
There you go. And he goes, and he starts talking like Adam West, and they go, "That's not Batman. Batman talks like this." Where's the trigger, Joker? Where's the trigger? And so, and the Nazi looks confused, and he goes, and Johnny Depp says, "No, that's your stupid Batman of today. He's talking about the real Batman, Adam West." And then. So anyway, it's just a weird scene. It's just a bunch of weirdness. But
well, what's really weird about that is Kevin Conroy's in the movie, according to IMDb. You know, Kevin Conroy being the voice of Batman from Batman the Animated Series.
Is that right?
Wow.
Well, I told you, there's lots of cameos. Basically, Kevin called in all his friends to be in this.
But really, you can gather it was weird just from hearing it's about Nazi bratwursts. Didn't even need to add from the ground.
Kirk and I just Googled... the Ferrazzi to see what it looked like. And I don't know about Kirk, but I think that this will definitely be inhabiting my nightmares for the next week.
Yeah, the whole time I thought this was animated. Now it's this right. guy with the big dickhead.
Yes. And?
Just, oh, my God. You know you want to do it. Just go ahead and pull up the trailer after a while and watch it.
Yeah, they've got the, I guess it's
that
the
way
Turkish.
You don't actually have to go see the film.
All right. Yeah, I think Yeesh. It's the Turkish trailer's been released. It's just got under subtitles in Turkish language, whatever that is, Turk.
When was the last time Kevin Smith made a watchable film? Anybody know?
Red State.
Not Red State, no.
What? I like Red State.
Yeah, I don't.
Hey,
I think I would go all the way back to Mallrats.
Well, see, here's the reason I like Red State, because it made fun of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, but that's low-hanging fruit, man. I mean, they're already a parody of themselves. They're so ridiculous. But,
okay. But, wow.
But, yeah, man, I mean, this is... I don't know. You haven't said anything that would cause me to want to see this.
Well, you know what?
It has Stan Lee in it.
Yeah.
And
Tim doesn't like Stan Lee.
Yeah,
cameos.
I was about to say it's still a cameo, so never mind.
You know, God bless Stan Lee, but I'm tired of seeing Stan Lee.
And then, I guess I can't think of any good reason. Oh, let's see here.
The dog doesn't die.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment's in it. But he doesn't see dead people.
He's already got a head like a bratwurst, too.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought as well. Like, I thought,
Did they actually include a joke about dead people with him involved?
No, they didn't.
Wow, that shows some restraint on Kevin Smith's part.
Yeah, he had a...
That's in the director's cut.
Yeah,
probably. You know that's in the outtakes somewhere.
But I don't know. I giggled so much that I had fun with it. But here's the thing. Being a fan... before the show, he had a little Q&A, not a Q&A, but he actually, it's funny because they started a little late with this, with the getting the show started, and whenever he came out there, or before he came out there, the guy says, well, apparently Kevin's going to talk for about an hour, and then we're going to watch the movie, and it's supposed to have been just 15 minutes in the movie, so we got to listen to him talk about an hour about how this film got made, and basically, the reason it got made... is because his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter were good friends, and he had him in that bit, and it said, man, well, I need to see more of them. And he goes, and the fact that they were clerks just enthralled him.
And the fact that Johnny Depp loved doing that part.
Yeah, but the clerks enthralled him because that's what started him out in the movie business. And then Johnny Depp said, please, put me in it next time, because he said that the quote from Johnny Depp was, people are tired of hearing me do this accent. Again, it's one of those, it's absolutely stupid. I will admit it, but it was funny. I laughed. And you know what? That's the thing. Okay, send me to a movie where I'm going to laugh, and if I laugh, you did your job. Send me to a movie where it's sad and I cry, you did your job. Send me to a movie I'm going to get scared at, and I get scared, you did your job. That's all I ask. I don't ask for art. Definitely wouldn't have got us in this one.
I think this was all free. Me crying because I had to be there.
I think you should raise your expectations slightly, Gil.
Oh, no. If I do that, then Hollywood will fail me. And then afterward, basically his daughter was there as well, and she did this nice tear-jerking Father's Day thing before the show, and it was like, aw. Anyway, then afterwards he had a Q&A, and it's funny, if you go on YouTube... There's one from the previous Q&A he had. I forget where it was, but the previous Q&A, someone said that they hated the movie, and he talks about, well, that's cool. He goes, I told you, and that's what he did. He warned us before the movie. He goes, you may hate this. He goes, I had my fun. I made the movie, and there's someone that actually in the Q&A afterwards at another performance that said, I hated it. This sucked, and it's like, this is the worst movie you've ever done. Why do you even make things if you're just going to do that? And the guy was really. Started out kind of being hateful. I mean, there's a time when you can say, okay, this sucked, but there's also, the guy went on. So anyway, at the end of that, Kevin whipped out $40 out of his pocket and goes, here, take your money back. I'm happier that you got your money back than, you know, and the guy wouldn't take his money back. Right. So. He warned you. It's stupid. It's just something he did on a whim. And again, I'll be the first to say it was stupid, but I had some good laughs. And I'll tell you what, no hero cake was involved.
Oh.
Although
See,
Isaac
that's already an improvement.
Although Isaac might need some after watching that. So, but anyway.
The thing is, though, I don't think Kevin Smith is without talent. I think, it's a bit limited in scope, but I think it's fair to expect more out of him than some of the stuff he's been doing.
Yeah.
Because he's capable of writing clever dialogue and filming some fairly creative and clever bits, but what he's giving us is so, I don't know.
What happens when you get too creative?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's like you said, he kind of filmed it for himself and his family.
Yeah.
It's like his family's fun thing they did over the summer, and now we have to watch it. And nobody likes to watch other people's vacation videos, no matter how polite we are. They suck.
What I'll say about that is that, I mean, I agree with you. I think, Clerks, when it came out, I thought was great. Mallrats, I liked most of. I remember liking Chasing Amy, but I don't know that I want to revisit it.
Yeah.
And then what was it? Dogma was the one where I started to get off the boat a little bit, and I haven't seen any of his movies since then. But I definitely think the guy has it in him to make good movies. And I don't know. Like, I kind of look at this as, sometimes artists only have a few years of good ideas in them, but they still want to make art,
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they lose their muse for 10 years at a time, and you're like Bob Dylan in the 1980s, you know what I mean? But
they lose their muse for
Jason Muse?
They're muse losers. Oh, hey, Jason Muse losers, yes. but he's still working, he's still got a fan base, and he's making things that he enjoys making and that his fan base enjoys watching, and so, I mean, at the very least, like, if he stops making movies that even his fan base could enjoy, then I would say he's completely, losing it. But, Gil, from what you're saying, if you're a Kevin Smith fan, if you're somebody that tends to enjoy his movies, that this will give you the goods for what you like out of those movies, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, I will say, as a geek, there is a lot of indefensible garbage that I absolutely love.
Oh, same.
Kind of guilty pleasures.
And, I've spent more time than I would probably like to admit listening to post-1980 music by Paul McCartney, and I don't know any sensible person that would argue that that's his best work.
Mm.
But he has enough affection built up for me that I can still enjoy listening to that stuff, even if the lyrics are wince-inducing sometimes and the arrangements leave something to be desired or whatever. There's something to be said for the loyalty of fans. And,
right.
And if he's keeping his fans happy, then I'll at least give him that.
Well, and that's the thing. I went in this totally not knowing, not expecting anything, and I got some chuckles out of it, and, I got to see a movie before anybody else did. I don't know. I had a good experience with it. Hey, I drugged my son along and made him live through hell for a while, but hey... Now
I wish he actually drugged me, though.
I'm going to jump on the landmine for everybody. I'm going to ask the question, what is a yoga hoser?
That's the thing. They have to use the power of yoga, and, of course, they're in Canada, so they're hosers. Ah.
Okay, I get that. Why so, yoga? I don't get it.
It's a funny bit they do with Justin Long. Justin Long is a yoga teacher. His name is Yogi Bear. B-A-Y-E-R.
Oh, God.
He's being sued by Jellystone.
I take back what I said earlier in his defense.
And
here's the thing with him. He's really starting to look like Homer Simpson in his moo-moo. Like Kevin Smith. It's like every time I see him, it's like now he's wearing a tent.
Yeah. Oh, it's the big hockey jersey.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Big hockey moo-moo. Yeah.
And well, see, it's the same. He's an auteur. It's the same thing that happened to Orson Welles, Hollywood.
And Marlon Brando.
So misunderstood geniuses often do that, so.
Oh, that's right.
Well, so you know you have to watch out if he starts doing ads for frozen peas.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Quentin Tarantino, he is another one of those guys that I was a huge fan of for so long. So long I love Quentin Tarantino films. And this last one, Hateful Eight, I think he lost me as a fan. And that was just a movie that, from what I understand, the story behind that is that the script leaked out. He got really mad and rewrote it and just said, I'm going to do this instead. And turned into the big pile of crap that was Hateful Eight. So I think everybody has their crap. It's just how long can they keep doing it?
I think those are two filmmakers that are really good to kind of look at together, because I think they both have the things that they do well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Tarantino still has that fire and push and drive to do something that is memorable, whereas I don't think Kevin Smith really does anymore.
Well, see, here's the
thing. Yeah, he doesn't seem very ambitious.
No, and I don't know that Tarantino is the filmmaker that he once was either. I don't think that that's the case, but he still comes up with something new and different and tries to challenge himself. And, you know, shooting Hateful Eight in 70mm, I mean, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
And something that he believed in personally. And so, you know, it's just something that that's why I find Kevin Smith disappointing, because I would like to see him actually challenge himself and do something maybe out of his comfort zone, instead of doing another movie about two clerks who weren't supposed to be here today.
Yeah.
Well, let me throw this in his defense. If you haven't seen it, watch the episode of The Flash that he directed. Great job on that. And that's a typical Kevin Smith, you know, dialogue-heavy type of a show. That episode of The Flash is a really good episode of The Flash, and you can tell that it was directed by Kevin Smith. He's been asked to come back and direct another episode. He's also, a rumor has it, and he kind of confirmed this rumor, that he's going to come back and direct an episode of Supergirl, which has moved to CW. He's also doing, he's got two other projects that are going to be mini-series in the works. One of them is the Buckaroo Banzai sequel that we never got. They're going to do it into a series on, I think, FX. I'm not sure, but I think it's FX.
Ooh, better luck next time.
And then he's also doing a Mallrats 2 as a series that looks like it's probably going to be on like a Netflix series, because the big thing with Mallrats is, you know, the Kevin Smith curse words got to be in there. And so that's why I'm looking at Netflix for that one. But so he's got those projects. These are just the things he's doing on the side. And it's like, okay, I got this. Let me get this out of my system real quick. And so he's got those legitimate directing jobs and things. But if you haven't seen the episode of The Flash that he directed, check it out. It's really good. It's Something About a Dinosaur is the title.
It was really good. It was a really good episode. I mean, it is what it is. It's The Flash. So,
yeah.
And it being a dialogue-heavy episode, there's a lot of piano music time in it. But it's a really well-directed episode all the same.
Mm-hmm.
This season?
Yeah.
It's like
the one.
Like,
did you watch it?
It's like third one from the end of the season.
Yeah, I haven't got that far yet.
Okay.
Yeah, me neither. I'm almost there. I'm about halfway through.
So it's like right after... Well, it's like right after a major event happens to Barry Allen. I'm not going to go any further with that, because that'll be a spoiler.
Yeah, don't.
Oh, wait, a major event happens to Barry Allen just about every episode, so never mind.
How interesting is it that the Supergirl show moved over to CW?
I think it's a good move.
I think it's the best thing that could have happened to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to get cheaper looking for sure, but...
Oh, absolutely. They're going to lose half their budget easily.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those guys make The Flash look fantastic every week.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am impressed with the visuals on The Flash. I think that looks more comic book like in terms of like the Flash super action when that's going down. It just looks so good.
Yeah.
And I trust those people to do something good with Supergirl, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. And plus, I mean, it gives it a good home with Arrow and Flash. You have built-in possibilities for cameos and different things like that. And the show can actually find a viewer base that I don't think it was going to find on the other station.
Yeah, crossover with Supergirl and The Flash was awesome. So I would be glad to see those two team up again, because that was really fun.
Plus, how awesome is it that Linda Carter is going to be the president on that show?
Oh, my God. So good.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap up.
Watch that in private.
All right. Let's wrap up the talk about Indie PopCon with the last bit here. I'm going to talk about. I want to bring to you some interviews. I conducted some interviews with some artists. First of all, we'll talk with Lexi Branson. She's an artist from here in Crawford County, Illinois, and she was there displaying her wares. Got some beautiful work. This woman's got some beautiful. I say woman. She just graduated high school, and she's got this huge talent. She's got these great prints that she's done, and I've got one of them, or I've got several of them hanging on my wall. One of them of Daredevil from the first season of the Netflix series Daredevil in the black costume, and it's just beautiful. Then she also did a Venom and Spidey one for us. But anyway, so I talked to her, talked to what her future plans are since she just graduated high school, what she's going to do next. So let's go ahead and listen to Lexi Branson real quick. Guilty Wilson with the Nerd Up Podcast, and I'm here at Indie PopCon with the first interview of the day, Lexi Branson, local Crawford County artist, doing good. And Lexi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Now, have you you've been here at the PopCon? You set up what last night? About what time did you start here on a Friday night?
We actually got here on Thursday, and we set up, and then Friday, I think the party started at about 10.
Okay, wow. I didn't realize you got here Thursday. I guess you had to be here early to get everything set up. You're graduated, and what are you going to do with your life now?
I'm going to go to a community college for about a year, and then I'm going to move on. I'm hoping to go to an art school. I don't know where, but somewhere.
Well, I'm telling you that you could probably teach some classes at the art school. I'm telling you, you got some beautiful artwork. Lexi Branson, you need to check her out. Do you have a website that people can check out some of your artwork?
I have an Instagram. It's under Lexi Lou Draws. And then I have a Facebook, and it's under Lexi Branson Art, which I'm trying real hard to keep that updated, but I'm not doing so great so far. But
kind of busy with cons and stuff like that anyway, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know we saw you at Comic-Con. Now you're at Indie PopCon, and you're making the circuit, and I guess you're going to be in Crawford County doing a couple of cons there. A few things about your future. Okay, you're doing comic book art and actually other characters from other animation. What kind of future, what kind of... Are you looking for comic book work? Are you looking for work in an animation field? Or what are you looking for exactly? What do you want to do, really?
I've looked into both of those things, and I've wanted to be like a concept artist for a while for like video games, movies. I just think it's like really awesome and a great way to like express your creativity through like characters and stuff.
What's the latest project you're working on?
I'm just trying to get some new pieces out. Is mainly what I'm working on right now. I'm just trying to keep up with school and stuff, and I'm gonna try and get done what I can.
Now, what seems to be a popular piece of art here lately for you?
I think a lot of Steven Universe stuff is pretty. A lot of people see that and they're like, "Hey!" But I think some. I'm trying to see some Civil War stuff, Bucky. I have like a small shrine. Yeah. I'm gonna light a candle or something, but
Well, that's one of the things that first got me attracted to you was this first picture of Bucky, the Winter Soldier. Just it's a beautiful. It's hardly anything in the picture. Okay, there's a lot of pain in there, but anyway, it's just the way his face is, and that grabbed me immediately when I saw your work. Then I saw the Daredevil you did from the season one of the Netflix series, and that in fact I got a print from you on that one, and it just grabbed me that. The facial expressions you could put on, like the one thing I point out every single time I talk to you and every time we talk about you, the Spider-Man drawing with Venom. I got a print of that one as well. There is no facial features on Spider-Man, and yet you've got a world of expression drawn on this thing. It's just amazing. And so the way you capture these things, I got no problem seeing you in the future being extremely rich and famous and remembering me. Would you be interested in doing your own comic book line?
That would be awesome. I would have to work on a lot more stuff, like just practice more, but I think that would be amazing.
Now, would you want to create your own character, or would you want to continue a character?
I think I'd want to create my own.
What would you create? Any ideas?
It'd probably be like a Winter Soldier ripoff. I don't know.
I think you like the guy, so as people are going to see when I post the pictures up here on the Nerd Up Podcast Facebook page, wearing a Winter Soldier outfit that you made yourself. You even painted the sleeve. You created all this stuff. Lexi Branson, enjoy the rest of PopCon. I'm going to probably be coming around again because I like staring at your artwork. So thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
All right, so also we talked to one of my favorite authors, Brian K. Morris. Brian K. Morris, he wrote a fiction that got published of Bloodshot from the Valiant Comics series. And I loved that. He's got his own books out, Volcana and a few others, but he submitted a story in a steampunk comic that's independently produced, and I had to pick up this comic as well, but here we're going to talk to Brian K. Morris about what he's writing about.
Expect this one to be a long one, folks.
Brian likes to talk. Nerd up. All right, Guilty Wilson with the Nerd Up Podcast once again here at Indie PopCon with the ever-famous Brian K. Morris, author of the books Volcano, Rebirth of the Champion. He wrote a Bloodshot story. Let's see, I'm trying to think of a few other things. Oh, Santa Stein. First time ran into this guy at NerdCon a couple years, well, last year, actually. And just been enthralled by the works and the magic that is behind the man, Brian K. Morris. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Gil. How's yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. This is a fun con, isn't it?
It is certainly a wonderful convention, and something I think the state of Indiana, if not the whole Midwest, has been needing for quite some time.
I'd have to agree with that. I mean, the diversity here, I mean, I read your Bloodshot, and I wouldn't say I'm a fan of Bloodshot, but it's one of those comics that I picked up back when Valiant was printing them, a lot of them. And it's just one of those comics that's just kind of fun to read. And then I read your story based on the comic book, and holy cow, you blew me away. And from then on, you know, we talked before, and I saw your Volcana, and I saw the Santa Stein and others. And I'm like, okay, eventually I'll get those. But after that, I had to go, and I bought the Volcana book. So now we're good to go. What else are you working on?
Well, I'm currently working with an outfit out of Chicago called Silver Phoenix Enterprises, and we are doing a number of horror comics, one based on Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, which I believe is in Midlothian, in one of the southwestern suburbs of Chicago. But it has been documented by many people as genuinely haunted. There are pictures taken by Chicago Sun-Times reporters of phenomena that have happened there. And we're doing, to start with, a six-issue series based on the tales of the cemetery that we've heard, and a few that I've made up that are absolute lies, but they're exciting. We're doing that. We're also doing a book that will be pushing on Kickstarter later this year, and it is a history of police work from the 17th century on up to about the time of the Miranda rulings, but we touch on the current date as well, as told through the eyes of a family who, like previous generations, they go into the family business. Well, this family business is being a policeman. It's a pretty human story, and we're going to be doling out more information as the months go on, but we are looking to put out many, many units of this and do it as giveaways to schools, prisons, police stations, all manner of things. Plus, I'm still writing regular prose. I'm going to be working on a Volcana sequel later in the year. We also have a new book that came out, Metahumans versus the Ultimate Evil. I am the ultimate evil. Actually, I have a short story in there with many other really, really terrific authors. Mine is about a Western gunslinger with super speed who learns about a robbery in a town that has had no crime in the last 20 years. So that's one of my projects. Plus, plus I'm doing more and more comic book work as the time for many other publishers now. So,
well, one of the things that intrigued me when I came into the con, but you were posting when you were setting up, you're talking about being here at the booth and everything. You're talking about a story that you did for a steampunk comic, and I, of course, I picked up a copy of this. Talk about this. I mean, steampunk's one of those intriguing genres, but you did a story in this comic book. Well, give me I don't want you to spoil it, but just give me a little brief description of your story and also what got you into this type of work.
Okay. This is done through Comic Quest, which is a very fine comic shop in the Evansville, Indiana area, and they put out some comic publications every now and then, and this is the showcase featuring Steampunk number 8, and I wrote a story, and all you need to know is the title, The Best Use of Steam. Okay. And it's got beautiful artwork by Donald Wright and Jade Devassier. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And it's 4 pages of sheer visual magic.
Nice.
From the man. Yeah, it's a glorious comic. First venture in steampunk. I promise it will not be the last.
Everything I've read by you is just so intriguing. I don't know. Well, you're telling me about working on this police story. One of the things I like is your imagination. I'm just reading your words. It's just, you take me to another world. I guess that's what authors are supposed to do.
That's
and you
my
do
job.
You do it well, extremely. But this one that's the police, the stories about police officers and families. I mean, how much imagination are you going to be putting into this? And what is there a different approach you have towards that one?
There is a very different approach. Anyone's familiar with, like, the giveaway comics of the 70s and 80s, or even prior to that, they're pretty much, to me, dry recitations of facts. You know, here's a factoid. Next panel. Here's another factoid. Well, we we are actually out to tell a story, a very human story with, you know, people with conflicts. And the one thing that I appreciated about that I was given the permission, it's warts and all. It's not just, you know, we do stress that the police have always been around to do a job that no one else wants to do.
Yeah.
But we also frame it in an emotional setting so that we can see how people react to having to do some of the more unsavory things that old police forces had to do. For instance, being, you know, corruption. A lot of older generations of policemen were privately funded, or they accepted money from local businesses who then got to decide what establishing order meant. Plus, some were used as union strike breakers around the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. And we frame the story around all that, and people who want to do the right thing but are not sometimes allowed to. And it's a tough job, and mainly what the police have done is, you know, to serve and protect us all, but sometimes they were asked to do some things that really weighed on their conscience on an individual basis. And that's the human story we wanted to tell with this book, and I think that's the story that's going to reach a lot of people who need to hear it.
Definitely. Wow, that sounds very intriguing now. Now you definitely have my attention, so we're good to go on that. Now, all right, so what other comics are you working on, and what other projects should we look forward in the future from you?
Well, I've got another issue. I have two issues of Celebration Comics out, one with a Nature Boy story created by Jerry Siegel, and then the second issue has a story of mine about a character called the Purple Claw. Yes, he was given a claw, and guess what? It's purple, and he uses its magical elements to fight evil. And the story is about a TV show that is going to kill a ghost live on the air, and how the Purple Claw must stop it. We'll be doing a full-length Purple Claw book later in the year. We are also going to be doing some things with the Skyman character from Columbia Comics, thanks to our friend and mentor, Ron Franz, who owns the trademarks on it. We're going to be coming out with a novel later this year. The original Skyman battles the Master of Steam. A little bit of steampunk elements in there. And we're also going to be doing an adventure magazine featuring Skyman and other characters. So if you like Indiana Jones and the Rocketeer, we can hook you up.
Wait a minute. Now, you know, you realize there's only 365 days in a year, right?
Yeah, and only 24 hours a day. It's what you do with those 24 hours that counts.
I'm guessing so, because it sounds like you're going to be extremely busy. But I look forward to reading everything you're going to be putting out. And you got to keep me posted. We'll keep in touch for sure.
You know,
and
it.
I'm going to know it. So
you know it. You know it.
So once again, Brian K. Morris, thank you very much for all you do. And thanks for talking with me today.
And thank you for all you do.
And now we're going to talk to another artist, or actually a couple of artists, Matthew Skillern and Jason Keith Phillips. Matthew Skillern is with Skillful Studios. He's got his own comic book line called The Comic, and it's about a man that gets weirdly transformed into an amphibian. His name is Lawrence, so he's Lawrence the Manphibian. And the comic, it's actually a really cool comic book. It's very fun. And basically, he starts out as a comic book artist that goes to all these cons to try to sell his comic book. So I'm like, I wonder where you drew that resource from. So anyway, so we'll talk about with Matthew Skillern and Jason Keith Phillips, who is with Mayonnaise and Bread. He's got his own comic out now called Dreadlock, and it's Dreadlok. There's no C in there, and it's kind of like Deathlock from the Marvel comics. But anyway, he's got that comic running now. And very good independent artists. Beautiful work from both of them. So let's talk to them real quick.
Nerd Up.
All right, Guilty Wilson once again with the Nerd Up podcast. And I've got two great artists. As a matter of fact, I'm interfering with their work right now. They're doing some great, looks like someone's painting some, or drawing some Link from Zelda. And then I got a wolf on this one. I'm not sure what Matt's doing. But it's Matt Skillern with Skillful Studios and Jason Keith Phillips with Mayonnaise and Bread. Jason, you got this new comic out, Dreadlock. How long you been working on that?
I've had it all since I was in high school, but the latest books, the venture has been about 2013, unfortunately. Slow go because I have a day job.
You got to work and make money so you can buy all the art materials. And so, well, now do you have do you have one issue out right now?
Yeah, one's out. The book's almost done. I have just a lot of work to do still.
The character of Dreadlock, he's got dreadlocks.
I just like the name. I am a Deathlock fan.
So
probably came from that, but
yeah, it is spelled with the L-O-K on the end. So beautiful artwork as usual. I mean, that between you two guys always working together, it's like I always see two different great works. And I bought one of your pieces, one of the Dragon Ball Z. It's for my son. It wasn't for me. Yeah, Goku, and it's the Goku painting that you had. And one of the things I love about it is I've always talked about it every time I talk about you is your work with color. Now that you're doing a comic book world, some of the color work that you've done is just, I mean, it just blasts out at you. But now that you're working with comic book, are you toning that down or are you just trying to change it up a little? How's that working?
My book's just black and white right now because of the cost of paying a colorist. I don't do my digital colors, but Dave Reynolds, mm-hmm. He does my digital work with the cover work I've had, and with the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo posters, he's done the colors on that too. That's why it's black and white inside. But everybody seems to like it, though.
So I think I saw a couple of postings of something that you did on Facebook, and it's like something about coming out back when. And I'm like, man, that looks so cool. So Dreadlock, and it's spelled L-O-K. Look for the comic book. You're going to be, you're at Indie PopCon this weekend. You got any other cons you're going to be attending anytime real soon?
The only thing locked right now is the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo. It's in August. It's on August 28th.
I think, that's right. It's a Sunday?
Yeah, Bloomington Convention Center.
And that's always a fun one, too. That was one of it's a brainstorm of Billy Cooper. He put that together. Great event in Bloomington, Indiana. One of the coolest. In fact, I think that's one of the first times I met you guys. I met you at NerdCon. You were there first.
Yeah, I met you. I don't remember, man. Everything's going too fast.
Too many cons.
this feels like we were just here this show last year. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
Right, yeah. And then you came out for NerdCon in Crawford County, just helped representing Indiana Toy and Comic Expo. But, we go way back. And now I want to talk to Matt Skillern, who's drawing this wolf that I don't know what it's for yet. I mean, Link, I can understand. What's the wolf for?
Well, this guy wanted a Link with a wolf.
Oh.
That's what I was... what happened? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know anything about that, gaming and stuff, but I just kind of do what they tell me to do.
Well, they re-released it on Wii U. It's a good game, man.
Oh, so, okay, I see how it is. So that's kind of cool, getting a piece of work from each of you based on the same idea from the game. That's a nice idea.
Normally when we come to conventions, Jason and I normally do a lot of stuff together because, I don't know, I think we like to hang out, and we also like to... to draw together and stuff. We never get to see each other except for at shows, really. So we always do this artist special thing where we'll do a discounted price on whatever we're doing, and it seems like everybody's happy normally with it. So
now your comic, the comic that is out, I've got issue number one. Are there any more issues?
There, issue two is out. I released that last year. I'm working on issue three. Issue two kind of jumps more into the world that he's introduced to. So the first one, he's kind of dealing with a breakup, and he's trying to make a comic book and all this kind of stuff. He kind of turns into this creature at the end. And the second one kind of deals with the aftermath of that, what happened. He's been kind of searching around, trying to retrace his steps because he can't remember. He was drinking hard one night, wakes up as a monster, and can't remember. So everybody can relate to that.
It happens to me every Friday. We call that Saturday mornings at my house.
I'm drunk right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's when reading that comic, it's like it got to the end. I'm like, dude, how can you leave me hanging like that? Oh, it's a comic book. That's right.
No, I mean, I was a big fan of Stan Lee. Really Jack Kirby. Stan Lee is great, obviously, but I love Jack Kirby. I loved, and I don't know, he was kind of the guy who would always do those big spreads, like big double-page spreads, and he did the half splash. And they'd always end on some sort of a cliffhanger. So yeah. I just always liked it. I mean, I love that soap opera feel of the comic books in general. So.
Well, that's one thing. I got to that end. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get the next one now. So before I walk away here, I'll be walking away with two more comic books. What other cons do you have coming up that you're going to be attending?
Indiana Toy and Comic Expo is probably the next one. I know Midwest Toy Fest I'll be doing in November. I think we're planning on doing Kokomo again. Cincy Comic-Con, I believe. There's some more in there somewhere. I can't remember. I try to do, like, at least... actually, was it NerdCon? What's the one that Michael does?
He's doing Crawford County Comic-Con.
He asked me to do that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not, but he's a really nice guy, so I may try to get down there. That'll be in September. September's going to be probably pretty busy, it looks like, so I'm not for sure.
Yeah, with NerdCon, we kind of spurred him to start his own, and he's jumped off with it. So now there's going to be two in Crawford County, so we're kind of happy about that. So there's two choices. One more question for both of you guys. What are we going to expect? I mean, you guys have day jobs, both of you, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when can we expect nothing but artwork from you guys and you're quitting your day jobs? Anytime soon?
Yeah, it depends on if enough people like it. We'll be good.
Yeah. Buy our stuff, and maybe we'll be able to quit our other jobs.
All right. Well, that's a great idea. I guess you got to hit that. So, all right. I'll tell you what. Pimp out your website and everything. Start with you, Matt.
You can find me on Facebook under Skillful Studios. You can find me on Instagram under Skillful Studios. And you can just go to www.skillfulstudios.com.
All right. So now, Jason, pimp your website out.
It's any social media platform. Just look up Mayonnaise and Bread. And you can find me, and then or just look up Jason Keith Phillips and you can find me. But usually, you know, everybody has a preference. They like Facebook, they like Instagram, yep. Pinterest, Twitter, anything, you'll find me.
Mayonnaise and Bread, hopefully it doesn't lead to any porn sites, but because that would not be one I want to visit.
It might just relate you to recipes for some mayonnaise and bread. It's kind of a hard recipe, but...
Lots of prep time in that one. Well, thanks again, Jason Keith Phillips with Mayonnaise and Bread, and Matthew Skillern from Skillful Studios. I almost had that wrong. You guys have a great con, and thanks for talking with me.
Well, okay, Isaac and I saw a couple of movies. I saw one by myself. We saw one together, is what actually turned out to be. So let's talk about, and surprisingly enough, guys, chime in when you want to on this one, but Isaac and I saw Finding Dory, and... I didn't think, actually, it's just weird. Isaac said, hey, let's go see Finding Dory. And I'm like, what?
So, Disney movie. Dude.
Yeah, Disney movie. It's like, what? And so we went, and we actually, the time we went, it was, okay, let's go. When's it showing? He goes, well, it's showing next in about 20 minutes. Okay, fine. So we went, and it was the 3D version. And I was kind of glad I saw the 3D version. It was pretty nice. It didn't really, well, yeah, it added a lot to it. But it was just fun to watch it in 3D. But Finding Dory, Isaac, what'd you think? Tell us why you wanted to go in the first place.
I thought it was a movie about fish, and it actually turned out to be about a lost child who got amnesia finding her parents. No, but all in all, I actually thought it was...
You sound enchanted, Isaac.
I always am. It was a pretty good movie. I mean, it was a Disney movie, so what do you expect? It's obviously... gonna be not terrible. I guess
they're pretty good at not terrible.
Yeah. But it was a pretty good movie. They got their facts right about fish. I learned this all because of biology last semester. So that's all I cared about, really.
You wanted to make sure the biology was correct?
Yeah.
It withstands the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, wait, Finding Dory. What about the camouflaged octopus?
That wasn't accurate. That's the only thing I could find.
Okay.
I think they can.
I hope you stood up in the theater and corrected the movie for the benefit of the audience.
I went up there and took a Sharpie out and started drawing on the screen as to why it wouldn't work.
Yeah, and then we got kicked out real soon. Actually, it's kind of funny. We saw it, and there was a power outage. In town at that time, right at the most climactic point towards the end, and all of a sudden the screen goes out, and Isaac goes, "To be continued," real loud in the audience. And then when we come back, they rewound the film a little bit, and you know, so that it wouldn't start right at the point where it dropped off, so you could kind of catch up. And
previously on Finding Dory.
Yeah, so that's what he did. And I kept expecting the Law and Order theme. Dun, dun. But anyway, so we had a kind of good experience with that. But yeah, you know what? It was a fun movie. It was one of those, like a Disney movie where, like you said, a lost child.
It was meant for kids, but it obviously had its adult jokes like usual.
Yeah, the key thing, I'm almost tempted to go back and watch this, But at the end of the movie, as the trailers are going by, that camouflaging octopus, it's like Where's Waldo, but where's the octopus? And they have the scenes going on, and you have to find where he is in the scene type thing, and then you find out he's camouflaged as a tree or whatever. And so that's kind of cool. But we're thinking, there were several scenes in the movie that this octopus was camouflaged. Like, I wonder if they did that every scene that he, you know, where he popped up. And so,
like, was he fully modeled, just clear in the scene, like prior to him uncamouflaging?
Yeah. So it's like, I'd be curious to watch that. So, but no, it was fun. Good voice actors, and what was it? The guy that played Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill was the octopus. So
he's always good value for money.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had that, you know, almost the Al Bundy attitude, almost. Anyway, so, yeah, it was fun. It was a good movie. So we'll say take your kids. You might get a kick out of it yourself. So let's call an end to this podcast. And, we've got things to do. I heard someone yawn earlier, and I'm not going to point any fingers because you wouldn't be able to see him because this is all audio. But anyway, somebody yawned. And so let's call an end. So all right, before we close out, once again, don't forget nerdappodcast.com, Geek Fuel, Loot Crate, the great subscription boxes. I love it. You never know what you're going to get. And for like $25, you get like $40 worth of merchandise. That's just a fun thing to have. So go to nerdappodcast.com, click on the links, sign up. We get a little kickback there, by the way, so that we can continue with the podcast. And then also, you know, get a T-shirt. They're always good. Look good. Go to the cons, and you can cosplay as a Nerd Up podcaster. I ought to try that.
Woo-hoo!
I actually did try that. So, all right. So let's call an end to this thing. I guess I'm Guilty Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
And I'm Isaac Wilson. You can reach me on YouTube, EbilBacon88, EBIL.
I'm Tim Coker. You can reach me on Twitter at TimKHasToSay, but I never check Twitter, so good luck. But if you want to see my dogs, I've got an Instagram feed for my dogs. It's OakBark, OakBark. So if you want to see my dogs just hanging around, because, you know, I don't have a very exciting life, then but my dogs are super cute. So, you know, OakBark on Instagram. You can always check that one out.
Cool.
And I'm Tim Mattson. I check Twitter less than Tim Coker does because I'm busy watching his dogs.
Awesome.
They are adorable. So you can find me at Tim Gone Mad.
And Kirk?
This is Kirk Gilman. No one's allowed to find me. I'll find you. Talk to you.
He has a very specific set of skills. He will find.
Yes, for sure. Guys, thanks a lot, Ben. This was a lot of fun, and thanks for having me. It was really enjoyable to catch up and to hear your guys' voice again. It's been way too long.
Yeah, well, you're more than welcome to come back anytime. In fact, now, you know, you don't have to go to Tim's house to borrow a cup of sugar anymore just to see him. You can say, hey, can I be on the podcast?
Right. Yeah, I will come anytime you guys want. I would love to come back.
So more than welcome every time. I mean, anytime we can talk nerdy things like we did tonight, I think that's success. So
absolutely.
Yep. So, all right, guys. Well, like we say at the end of each and every episode, stay nerdy.